Leviticus. We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 16, looking at the Day of Atonement. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Leviticus chapter 16, looking at the Day of Atonement. Now, before we get too far into it, we need to figure out exactly what this word atonement means. And so when we go to the dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary has three different definitions for atonement. The first definition is just the law version of it, and it means amends or reparation made for an injury or wrong. So if you go to court and you lose your court case and you're required to pay back something to, you know, fix the issue that was caused, maybe a car wreck, maybe something was broken or stolen or something like that, atonement is basically the process or the means, the amends or reparation made for that injury or wrong. So it's payment for a wrong that has been committed. When we look at Judaism, so the law, atonement is an individual's reconciliation with God by means of, notice this, repentance and confession of one's transgression. So in the Old Testament, to be in reconciliation with God, in other words, to be right with God, you had to repent and confess one's transgressions. For Christianity, atonement means this: the reconciliation of God and humans brought about by the redemptive life and death of Jesus Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, to atone for sins, you had to have a blood covering. You had to have a blood poured out and spilled to cover the sin. But thankfully, Jesus Christ came and he was that perfect sacrifice, and his blood covered and paid for our sin. But see, this is the atonement. This is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. If you've noticed in the news, we know that in the fall, usually sometime around September, late September, early October, the Hebrews, the Jewish people celebrate Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. That is literally what Yom Kippur means, is Day of Atonement. And as we have read through Leviticus, God told the Israelites, you are to remember this day for all of your generations. This happens on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Hebrew calendar. And on this day, the high priest of Israel would make atonement for the sins of the people by means of a sacrifice. And that's what we're picking up. We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 7 through 10, and then we're going to jump down and look at verses 15 through 22. If you would like to stand with me as we read God's word this morning, feel free to do so. Leviticus 16, 7 through 10 says, "Next he will take the two goats and place them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. After Aaron casts lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for an uninhabitable place, he is to present the goat chosen by lot for the Lord and sacrifice it as a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot for an uninhabitable place is to be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement with it by sending it into the wilderness for an uninhabitable place." Verse 15, "When he slaughters the male goat for the people's sin offering and brings its blood inside the curtain, he will do the same with its blood as he did with the bull's blood. He is to sprinkle it against the mercy seat and in front of it. He will make atonement for the most holy place in this way for all their sins because of the Israelites' impurities and rebellious acts. He will do the same for the tent of meeting that remains among them because it is surrounded by their impurities. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the most holy place until he leaves after he has made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole assembly of Israel. Then he will go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He is to take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns on all sides of the altar. He is to sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and set it apart from the Israelites' impurities. When he has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he is to present the live male goat. Aaron will lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the Israelites' iniquities and rebellious acts, all their sins. He is to put them on the goat's head and send it away into the wilderness by the man appointed for the task. The goat will carry all their iniquities into a desolate land, and the man will release it there." Father, we thank you that you have made atonement for us. Father, that you have made a way for us to be in right standing before you. Father, I ask today as we study your word that you will remind us and humble us of the steps, the process, the cost that you took to atone your people to you. Lord, help us to live in remembrance of that every day. Help us to keep that on the forefront of our minds. And Father, I ask that you will help us to be obedient to go and to share the good news of what you've done on the cross for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to be looking at the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. The first thing that we're going to look at this morning is the sacrificed goat. The sacrificed goat. You see, on the Day of Atonement, what is happening is, the Day of Atonement is separate from the Feast of the Passover. The Passover is a different celebration than the Day of Atonement. They're two different things. But if you remember the Feast of the Passover, blood is sprinkled on the doorpost, symbolizing that when God comes to cause calamity on those who have not obeyed him, when God sees the blood on the doorpost, he turns away because he sees that those sins have been covered, so he passes over. The Day of Atonement, though, is not just a passing by saying, hey, those sins have been covered. No, this is the time when there is actual blood being spilled for the sin of the people, to cleanse the people, to take the sin away from the people. And so the Day of Atonement is a very important day in the life of Jewish culture and Jewish history, because it was on this day that the people of God became right with him. Their sins were covered. They were paid for. They were taken away from them. And so God told Moses, you need to go and you need to get different goats. You need to get two goats and bring them before us. And the first goat, you're going to cast lots for these. You're going to, you know, the best idea that we can come up with is basically, throwing dice or something like that. But you're going to cast lots and decide which goat is the one that is going to be slaughtered and which goat is the one that is going to be let go. And so on this day, they would bring these two goats before Aaron. Aaron would cast lots for these goats. And the goat that was chosen to be slaughtered would then be taken, and his blood would be spilled. But notice what the blood is supposed to do. This is a sin offering. In other words, it's an offering that is being spilled to cover the sin of the people. The blood of the goat is to go forth and to cleanse the sin of the people from themselves and before God. They're also to take the blood and cleanse the impurity that the Israelite people have brought on the temple itself. And so Aaron is supposed to go and cleanse the holy place. He's to go and cleanse the temple, the tabernacle. He's to go and cleanse the altar. And he's doing so to cleanse the impurities of the people from everything and get rid of the impurities, the sinfulness of the people of Israel. And so this goat's blood was being spilled for the cleansing of sin. Notice Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to you to make atonement on the altar for your lives, since it is the lifeblood that makes atonement." We see that blood is what pays the price for sin, that makes people right with God. Hebrews 9:22 says, "According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So this first goat, this goat that was brought before Aaron, he slaughters it and takes it and sprinkles this blood to bring atonement for this, or to cover the sin, to pay for the sin of the people and to cleanse the people, himself as the high priest, and the nation of Israel. See, our sin makes everything dirty. Our sin makes everything unclean. And you and I can't pay for, we can't fix our own sin. We need God to come in and cleanse us of our sin and provide a way for us. And he did that in the Old Testament with these sacrifices, but these sacrifices were never perfect. They were never one and done. They never completely paid for the sin. They never covered the sin completely. It was just a shadow of a picture of what was to come through Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is that this goat is pointing the way to Jesus, saying there is one to come who is going to completely pay for the sin of all the people. It is through Jesus Christ alone. So we saw the first goat, the goat that is sacrificed. Then we're going to look at the second goat, the scapegoat. Now, you guys have probably heard the word scapegoat before. It means somebody who isn't guilty of anything, but they take the blame for it. That's what a scapegoat is, right? Sometimes we try to create our own scapegoats. We want to choose our scapegoat, say, no, it was that person's fault. But in this case, the scapegoat played a very important role in Jewish life. Leviticus 16, 20, 22 says this, when he has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he is to present the live male goat. Aaron will lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the Israelites' iniquities and rebellious acts, all of their sins. He is to put them on the goat's head and to send it away into the wilderness by the man appointed the task. The goat will carry all their iniquities into a desolate land, and the man will release it there. Notice what Aaron is to do. He's already killed the first goat. The first goat's blood has been sprinkled on the altar. It's been sprinkled in the holy place. It's been sprinkled on the tent of meeting. It's a symbol that the blood has paid for the sin of the people. It's been cleansed. It's been purified. But now something has to happen with the sin. And Aaron is to go to this goat. Notice he doesn't just put one hand on the goat. No, he puts two hands on the goat. He puts all his focus on this goat and prays and transfers symbolically the sin of all the Israelites onto this goat. In other words, what's happening is Aaron is saying, hey, all the sins of the people, every sin that's been committed, and he goes through and he confesses it. He names the sins. And he says, all these sins we are taking away symbolically from the people, and we're placing them on this goat as the Lord has commanded us. And then this goat is going to be sent out from the temp or from the camp, from the people that are gathered there, into a desolate place far, far away to symbolize that the shedding of blood has caused mankind to be separated from the sin that they've committed. That is a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us. Jesus came and died on the cross, and he paid the price to separate our sin from us. So the goat carries the sin away. It is gone. It is taken away. We've heard so many times that our sin, that God has paid for our sin, and it's far away as the east is from the west. This is the whole idea here. That when the sin is paid for, when the sin is taken care of, it is removed from us where we can't access it anymore. And so these two goats, the goat that is sacrificed, the goat that is the scapegoat, both of these are symbolizing what is to be done with sin. What is going on that God is asking them to do? We want to have these sacrifices to remove the sin of the people. Why? Because God wants to be able to be in the presence of his people. But God cannot be in the presence of sin. And so sin has to be removed. Not only is it being removed from the people here, but it is allowing them to now have access to God, to be in his presence. God is turning his wrath away from the sin that has been committed because it's been covered, it's been paid for. But these sacrifices were never perfect. These sacrifices basically put a Band-Aid on it. They didn't fix the whole problem. And so this sacrifice that is done, this scapegoat that is being used, it's good for a time, but it's a picture of what's to come. It doesn't cover everything perfectly. And that's why we need Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. What is really interesting about what we see with Jesus is, you know, the high priest, we just read in Leviticus, the high priest has to go in and he has to offer this sacrifice. He has to atone for himself because he has sin also. But the perfect high priest, Jesus, he never had to atone for his own sin. Why? Because he was perfect. Jesus never sinned. He was the perfect high priest. He was the perfect sacrifice. And so what Jesus does, he doesn't have to offer sacrifice for himself because he is sinless. Instead, Jesus, the perfect high priest, he didn't have to go get another goat. He didn't have to go sacrifice another animal. No, he gave himself as a perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the one who said, I am the perfect sacrifice. My blood is going to be shed and sprinkled on the altar. It's going to purify everything and everyone because my blood is perfect. Jesus presented himself as that sacrifice. He shed his own blood. He was the one that did that of his own accord. Hebrews 10:10 says this, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. The Old Testament sacrifices had to occur every year. The sacrifices of the Passover had to occur every Passover. The sacrifices on the Day of Atonement had to happen every year on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus came, he not only was the Passover lamb, as we saw a couple weeks back, but he is also the perfect goat. The perfect goat who is coming, and his blood is going to perfectly take away the sin of the world. Not only that, not only does his blood cover the sin and pay for the sin, but he also takes our place, and our sin is transferred upon him, just like the sin of the people was transferred onto the second goat. All of our iniquities were placed on him. He took our sin away from us. Hebrews 13:12 says this, therefore Jesus also suffered outside the gate so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Jesus died outside the gate. He was sent out of the camp just like the second goat. But all those sins were placed on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took on our sin, all of it. It was transferred from us and placed upon Jesus. Jesus is the one who came to take our sin away. John 1:29, John the Baptist says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All these New Testament passages are just pointing back to the Old Testament, saying Jesus is the one who is coming to fulfill all the things that we saw, all the things that the Israelites were supposed to do, day in and day out, the sacrifices that continued on and on and on. Jesus is the one who came to completely fulfill all of those things. Isaiah 53:10 through 12 says, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels, yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. That passage in Isaiah is a prediction that the Messiah, the one who is going to come, was going to fulfill not only just what the Passover lamb did, but also what these two goats did on the Day of Atonement. That Jesus was going to bear the sin of his people. He is going to take on all the sin of his people. And he is willingly going to submit himself to death to pay for the sin of his people. Jesus Christ came and he died for you and for me to take our sin away, but it was prophesied. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed to what Jesus was going to do. And praise God that he came and perfectly fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. I want to point to one thing, though. Notice what happens when the high priest places his hands on the second goat, on the scapegoat. What does he have to do? He has to confess the sin of the people. He has to place his hands on this goat, on the scapegoat, and he is going to say, confess every sin. See, when we ask Jesus for forgiveness, he is faithful to forgive us, but we have to confess our sins. We have to tell the Lord, hey, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I know that I've messed up. I know that the things that I have done are not in agreement with what your word tells me. I know the things that I have done are not in agreement with what you expect of me. I understand that what I have done is sin and completely contradicts what your word has taught me. You see, when we come before God and we confess our sins, what we are telling the Lord is this: you're right, I'm wrong. That's what confession is. Confession is us saying, God, I am in agreement with you. You are right, I am wrong. I messed up here, I messed up here, I messed up here. I know your word tells me that these things are wrong, and I am wrong for that, and you are right. Father, please forgive me of my sin. See, we confess our sins when we get saved, when we ask Jesus to save us. We say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That is confession. But we also need to be faithful to confess our sins after we are saved as believers, because you and I sin every day. We must be faithful to go to the Lord and say, Father, I have messed up here. I am wrong here. I've not been in agreement with you here, and that's on me. Father, I need you. Please forgive me. I know I messed up. Here's why I've messed up. I want to be in agreement with you. Church family, a lot of times it's really easy for us to live our lives in such a way where we're not confessing our sin before the Lord. And it's really easy for us to just let things go and just say, God, please forgive me of my sin and be done with it. God knows the sins that we've committed. But see, confession is also for us because it reminds us of the ways that we fail the Lord. It reminds us of the ways that we have not been in agreement with the Lord. And confession helps us to understand that we are wrong and we must live obediently before the Lord in everything that he tells us. Church family, if you've been saved, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, I encourage you, daily tell Jesus, tell the Lord, confess your sins before him individually. This is what I've done. I know it's wrong. Please forgive me. Live in a confessional state before the Lord. But there may be some people in here today who have never given their lives to Jesus. You've never asked forgiveness of your sin. And you're sitting here telling me today, Tim, I know that there's sin in my life. I know that I've done things. And I don't think God can save me of those things. I'm here to tell you that Jesus came and he paid for all sin. There is no sin. There is nothing that you can do that Jesus can't forgive you of. He's paid for all sin. When he died on the cross, every sin ever committed was transferred from humanity and placed on Jesus. He has paid for it all. If you've never given your life to him, though, it's time to confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead on the third day. When you confess Jesus with your mouth, you're saying, Jesus, I know you're right. I know you're God. I know everything that you say is true. I confess that you are God. I know I'm wrong. I know you're right. I know the way that I've lived is wrong. I know the way that you ask me to live is right. I know that your word is 100% true. I know that it is right. Father, help me to live every single day in obedience to your word.